The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
Hello, everybody.
And that's why I'm not allowed to Chili's anymore.
I don't know why that's happening, but welcome to episode 121.
I worked there for like 7 years.
I mean, you worked at a Chili's?
For 7 years.
Damn, how much flair did you have?
We don't have flair what? There.
I thought you had. I thought they all had
no,
flair.
No, it was. It's a,
no,
it's a restaurant.
That's Chi-Chi's or Chachi's
no,
or.
No, it's a restaurant.
Chachi's. That's not a thing.
Is there a Chi-Chi's?
There was a Chi-Chi's. Yeah.
Okay.
Tchotchkes is the restaurant.
Tchotchkes,
right.
That, there we go.
The restaurant that it mocked, and it ended in Ennigan's.
Ennigan's. That's so true.
Jennigan's.
There was one of those that was open at 275 and Ann Arbor Road that was open. It was like one of those long holdouts that was open for the longest time, and it finally closed about a year and a half, 2 years
I think they
ago.
Still have like a sauce or something like that that you can like purchase. There's a few of those.
Well, Chi-Chi's definitely.
Yeah, Chi-Chi's.
Chi-Chi's.
Are you talking
sure.
Bennigan's?
Yeah, I'm talking Bennigan's. Hell, we still have a Hardee's, I don't see those.
Well,
ever.
It's the same restaurant as Carl's Jr., I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just west of the Mississippi, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's delineated.
So there's still an open Chi-Chi's restaurant, fun fact.
They're at. I used to like their
Does
chicken
Chi-Chi
tenders.
Know about this?
So I don't know if it's the same exact one. I'm bringing up the photos of it now, but it's in Rogers City.
Okay. Michigan?
Yes.
Interesting.
So there used to be one at 696 in Hoover, and there was a like fastest draw in the West competition. So there was this like mannequin that you would put the quarter in, and you'd see if you could draw faster than me. We'd always win.
Oh, jeez.
So this does not have an affiliation with Chi-Chi's itself. So it was interesting. But I literally typed Chi-Chi's restaurant Michigan, and there's a Chi-Chi's in Rogers City.
I said the last one I knew of was in Livonia. It was at 96 in Middle Belt.
Episode 121, folks.
That it is.
Hi, we weren't expecting to be here today.
Just for
not
struggling podcast.
All.
You had other plans, Ken?
I did. I wanted to go swimming today.
You wanted to go swimming?
But the place where we... the venue that we were going to go swimming. The contingency plan.
Was doing the show?
I mean, as far as the swimming is concerned, I think the heater wasn't working. So, I mean, it just would have been some really cold kind of lake effect type water. And
there's a lot of water over there. Have you guys seen some of the photos yet?
Yeah,
no, I haven't.
It's pretty crazy.
So for those of you who are unaware, this weekend was supposed to be the Winter Beer Festival by the Michigan Brewers Guild in Grand Rapids. And it happens at Whitecap Stadium over in, I believe, Comstock Park, technically.
Yep.
And right by there is the Grand River. And the river itself, I don't believe it is crested yet. But if you look at the photos of everything right now, which today is 2/23/18, it is basically underwater. So
the river's underwater or the ballpark's underwater?
The ballpark.
Okay.
The ballpark
because
itself.
Most of the river is underwater.
I would think most of the river is water.
Uh-huh. Could be.
So we are here in studio. We will not be here next week. Next week we're actually going to be at the beer festival as long as it, you know, continues.
Unless there's a contingency plan.
Unless there is another contingency plan. So let's kind of cut to it. I had already talked to, obviously, the president of the Brewers Guild, friend of the show, Eric Brigeman. Shout out to Eric Brigeman. And they're giving refunds to anyone that wants a refund. Obviously, a lot of hotels are doing transfer of dates if you need a date. Transfer, a lot of people are giving cancellations, comps. I haven't seen too many, like, no's for cancellations. But fair is fair. The Brewers Guild took way too long to cancel it, in my opinion.
What does Eric say about that?
I think so. I can't
put him on blast.
I can't speak for Eric. He's obviously I didn't get an interview with him because he's been kind of busy.
Right.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Just a little.
I think he's actually still in Grand Rapids right now working on the plan for next week.
But not in the park, right?
But not in the park. Well, they are taking photos of the park, so I assume they're
snorkeling or getting ready to.
So in regards to that, I think they gambled and lost. That's my best opinion, best guess in regards to what happened. I think they had plenty of ideas. The contingency plan that Matt keeps referring to, the Whitecaps, which is the Whitecaps management, the people who own the ballpark, had ideas in regards to what to do for this situation, and I believe they weren't expecting it to be as bad as it was. Now, if you see photos, the river itself is a very long river, and the flooding is happening all over the state.
Yeah, the west side of the state anyways.
Well, Lansing even. Like, it's flooding in Lansing, yeah, on Grand River.
I would say I saw pictures of portions of MSU that were,
I guess,
completely underwater.
At what point did the meteorologist say this river's going to crest on Friday?
So I think they were expecting – they were saying that the river is potentially going to crest, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday they were talking about it.
So I guess thought is, if they would have canceled on Tuesday, would people not have just bitched? And then if – it wouldn't have been an issue where they would have been like, why did you cancel it?
I think you would have gotten maybe 90% of the flack still.
I don't know. I think you can't make anybody happy.
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, I would have loved to see them keep it going and have everybody bring floaties and a noodle and go float.
Right, but I mean, we're talking about – we're not talking about –
I have an avocado float I could have brought.
Of course, everything avocado.
I mean, we're not talking about last year where, you know, it rained and a certain someone didn't bring a coat and you had –
an ass.
No, I don't know why I did that. There were, you know, you had all of the breweries that were along the front area of the beer fest, and all of them were basically in roughly 4 to 6 inches of water because all the water was, when it was raining, it was all just the drainage area was going straight toward them. So you had, like, I remember Saugatuck. I remember actually wanting to go to get something from Saugatuck, but, you know, even in the boots, I was just like, I'm not stepping in that shit. It's like, for all I know, there might be some electrical back there that they're not paying attention to. So I said, screw this. I'm not going over there. I mean, for that, sure, that's great. But, you know, when they're talking about, you know, the stadium suddenly getting put under 3 feet, then, I mean, you might as well just call it the Winter Canoe Fest.
So can I just like to raise this point?
They do have the kayak festival over in Traverse City. Where you can kayak from brewery to brewery, so that maybe they need to do that.
Put them together to be like the bike tours, just, you know, rowing.
What if we brought the pedal pub?
Oh my god!
And call it the paddle pub.
No, just keep it the pedal pub.
Then your feet got to get wet. Screw that.
But I guess we live in Michigan. It's cold. Why the hell is there a winter beer fest that's not indoors? Period.
I think that's the point of it.
Is it to be not indoors?
Yeah.
I call shenanigans.
Why?
Because it's cold.
We're Michiganders.
Right, but it's like you should still have an indoor festival in the winter because things happen like this. What if it was like – what if, for instance, it was like 2 or 3 Saturdays ago when it would just not stop snowing, like 8 inches of snow? So you want to get people liquored up all day and then say, all right, cool, now you guys got to drive somewhere?
Well, that's what Uber's for.
Still, I mean, you got 10,000 –
or you. That's 5, what you're 000, for.
5,000 people?
I'm not about to Uber from – Comstock Park to Detroit.
Well, you Uber to a hotel. Come on. Be smart here.
But those people that go on Saturdays, they don't all think that they're going to stay there. You know, if you go on Saturday, it's because you can go there and leave in a day. I mean, even Friday to a point, there's a lot more people that stay than there are that leave. But
right,
if you're going to go on a Saturday, what if there's a blizzard? What if there's a whiteout? What if there's ice all over the place?
You're going to get that with any outdoor festival.
Okay, well, let's just put it indoors.
I think the whole point, mind you,
so it shall be, huzzah.
What about just doing away with it and just calling Detroit winter and calling UP the official fall?
Or the summer.
But, I mean, that's kind of the takes away from the, I guess, the pleasure of having a beer festival in each season. And you take.
Well, I think she's more like I think she would be more like spread out the summer and the winter.
Isn't there five, or am I not counting?
There's
correctly?
Four.
You
might be counting the winter conference as a beer festival.
Well,
I've done that a few times.
What's the UP Beer Fest, though?
That's the UP Fall Festival.
Is that just the UP?
So there's no spring festival.
There is no spring festival.
Why not?
So it goes February to July.
Well, I'm kind of with Angela. What if you take the one that's in Detroit and Eastern Market into the sheds and like dump it into like November and call that the Fall Beer Festival or winter. Even December, call that the Winter Beer Fest. And then you take
do a spring it, when it's like maybe more
March
reasonable.
Or April.
Wait, so
because
now, wait.
Every year there's an issue though. Like, what about the year that all the beer lines froze because it was too cold?
Oh, that was a god awful year. Right. I remember that.
Every
year
is pretty awful. I mean, we can't control the weather, but
yet
maybe we can.
It sells out in 30 minutes no matter what.
No,
it's crazy.
And you can't control the weather, but now. If I'm hearing that right, we're now taking away a beer fest from Beer City.
We're moving it.
You're moving it. So now Grand Rapids doesn't get a Michigan Brewers Guild sanctioned beer fest.
What if they do it in spring and they get it in
March? No, they're doing craft beer month, right? Or beer month?
Beer week. They're beer week.
No,
right?
it's beer month.
It's beer month in Grand
month?
Rapids.
Oh,
yeah.
So why doesn't
15th to the 15th?
So why not at the last Saturday of beer month in Grand Rapids in the middle of March? Smack! Yeah. There's our beer fest. Like a culmination of the beer of beer month is the beer fest. You do it in March, where it's going to be a lot more palatable. And then you still have your.
It may still be rainy, but
yeah, you have your Winter Beer Fest in Detroit around the end of the year. So I think the premise though is because there aren't really spring beers. There are winter beers, but there aren't really. There's no such thing as a spring beer. It just goes from winter beer to like summer beer. I mean, you're listening now, Summer Shandy came out this week.
I saw that.
So there isn't a springtime flavor of beer.
I mean, on the other side of that, you go to Summer Beer Fest and you've got Drafting Tables Rye Mean Vanilla Bean. It's sitting at 16.5%.
That's all your fault. I have no sympathy for you.
That is not a summer beer by any means. But there are still all of those high ABVs that are sitting there at the Summer Beer Fest.
It's probably because it doesn't sell through in the winter. Because it's not good beer.
I don't understand why, because this stuff's amazing. Shut up.
No, he's being a turd. Beer is beer. I mean, does anybody, in how high the trends are happening right now, does anyone even really follow seasons? Are any of the one-offs really following seasons?
Apparently Leinenkugel doesn't, because, I mean, shit, it's February.
It's shandy season,
and
baby.
Summer shandy. I just saw that pop up
and
on Instagram.
I just create an event to do an Oberon release at the end of March. And so it's like the beginning of March, we're having an ice fest. And at the end of March, we're drinking Oberon. So really, like, it doesn't.
It's shandemonium.
Wow.
What math?
Wow.
Wow.
What a character.
Glad you're on your own mic this week.
that's pretty much, you know, we can talk about ideas till we're blue in the face. Obviously, it's up to the Brewers Guild. There we go. keep on. I was like, Brewers. I'm like, no, Brewers Guild. So, you know, whatever they can do, great. Obviously, a lot of people like the Winter Beer Festival. They make vacations. I as much as I understand what you're saying, like, why are they making it outdoors?
In February.
And there's problems every year with the weather. Because it's outdoors in Michigan.
You know what? I'm announcing my candidacy for president of the Brewers Guild right now here.
What?
And my platform will be to change the schedule.
You're
going
to have to get
festivals.
More people on your side, and that'll probably be less, like, shitty trolling.
And you need to stop the trolling, because that's going to be used against you.
That's fake news, guys. That's fake news.
That is going completely. But, I mean, I guess.
Fake juice.
Fake juice. I guess let's kind of go back to like some of the backlash that's been going on, and I've been seeing a lot of different posts where, you know, obviously there are the people that are going to get the refunds, they're good for the hotels and whatnot, but there was a couple posts that I saw in there where people had friends and relatives that were flying in from out of town. There was one guy specifically said that that he had a buddy that was flying in from Atlanta to come out to Winter Beer Fest for. It to now just basically be like a staycation in this dude's house. I don't know what's going to happen with them now.
The breweries in Grand Rapids have been super hospitable. I mean, they've got like four different Twitter hashtags that are trending about breweries that are doing, you know, cheap beers and all that stuff. So there's plenty of
discounts
to go around.
And there's breweries and places on this side of town too in Detroit. Like One Eyed Betty's is doing half off all drafts during brunch tomorrow.
And Kunin, they're doing, hey, we were supposed to go, but if you know bring so many places are doing, if you bring in your Brewers Guild ticket, $1 off pints, $2 off pints. So.
Ascension's like raiding their cellar and doing a lot of their They're good beers.
Are they still going to the fest? I saw it, but I didn't get to read.
I would think so, because I don't think they can. They would have purchased back their beer from the whatever company that obviously the Brewers Guild purchases the beer from. I don't. The three-tier system confuses me when that kind of stuff happens.
So most breweries are probably running dangerously low on beer right now, because they just shipped about a week's worth of beer to Grand Rapids, and now that they've been brewing probably for the last few months, and now they're kind of
sitting. Yeah, but they could probably hold back on distro.
But a lot of the places that would go to the Brewers Guild Fest don't distribute.
I mean,
right?
I would.
So every place has probably what 10 to 12 kegs that they sent over to Grand Rapids. So if you're a small brewery like a River Rouge right down the street, they're probably cutting it with Summer Shandy. That I don't know.
What?
I mean, all in all, it's just unfortunate. I mean, like, you know, and I'm not sure. I would love to hear an explanation for it getting pushed back a week, because I feel like I don't know.
Do it on a Monday or Tuesday?
No, but I
say
mean,
NASCAR.
I'm just speaking from like one person's perception. Like, it really screwed us up as a business, because
say,
we had.
You're speaking from a company perspective.
Well, yeah, one company of how many breweries represented, and I'm just speaking from the small guy who wants to participate in these events and be represented, but with such a small staff and such short notice to make new plans a week later put us in a tight position, because we have an ice festival on Saturday on our premise that we have to be staffed and ready to go for. So then to send, you know, six people out, eight people out to Beer Fest, we only have 49 employees, and that's including managers, brewers, hostess that is 17 years old, cooks, wait staff, like everybody. And so
you're saying is you need some temporary staff to hire.
Possibly.
There we go.
I'm just curious how that came about. Like, was it the best decision for, you know, the guild, for the members of the guild? I don't know.
So they probably had to factor in
I'm assuming.
Well, permits, but they also had to factor in usage of the parking lot. So obviously, as spring training winds down at the end of, at the end of March, they're going to be playing baseball over there. Yeah?
No.
When does the Whitecaps start?
Probably not till mid-April till early May.
Well, I just assumed it was on the same trend as MLB.
It's lower ball. So those players will typically stay in Florida for another few weeks.
Okay. I did not know that. I just,
true story.
Easy assumption that I was incorrect on. Yeah. In regards to moving it a week, I mean, obviously they're not going to be able to move it this weekend at all. Like, they wouldn't have been able to push it back. Like, they're talking the flooding's going to be there,
and is it going to be done? Is it going to be dried up?
That's the thing is that they're talking about flooding until the 27th, which is the Tuesday, Tuesday or Wednesday.
This coming Tuesday.
They're talking about how long that flooding is going to be there for. Is it going to dry? Like, I don't know how long it'll take for them to take the water out, or maybe even they hire a company to take the water out.
But, I mean, even if they had moved to another place like Van Andel Arena, you still have a city that's underwater, right?
There's
basically Katrina. It's basically New Orleans, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
like,
not as
people aren't getting around Grand Rapids with a foot of water.
I mean, that's not extreme.
It's a little extreme, but the same sense to where getting around is near impossible. You're going to get your car. To be honest, it's the Detroit flood of 14.
Yeah,
that's really the best example of what that is the Detroit flood of 14 just happened in Grand Rapids, minus the giant rainfall that we had for one day.
Right.
That created that flood. God, that was awful. You were in St. Clair Shores. I don't know how much that hit. Where were you?
I was still living in Auburn, in Shelby Township at the time. The border of Rochester Hills and Shelby Township.
Yeah, I don't know how. Well, like Southfield, there was nothing. But Madison Heights, Warren, was just god awful.
I was selling beer, and Warren was my territory.
Oh Jesus!
So actually, I made a killing that night, because all the party stores stayed open because everybody in Warren got trapped. So they were selling the hell out of, you know, Milwaukee's Best and Miller Lite and. You know, there's a party store that right at Mountain 696, where Mound goes under the freeway and it goes over, and that was where all the water had collected, and they were pushing cars in and out into the party store parking lot.
There was, I saw, because I was working at 13 and a half in John R., and people were getting stuck right over there. And they were literally everyone was walking to either Augie's or Red Robin. Like both places were packed.
And no, at that time I was still living in Taylor, but I think it was that night that I had to host in Plymouth, and it took me an hour and a half just to get from my house onto a freeway. And mind you, like, my old house was only a mile and a half from I-94. But yeah, every way onto the freeway was dipping under the freeway, and that's where all the water was.
Yeah, I broke about 100 laws that day, for sure, in regards to, like, trying to just get home from 13 and a half to 696 in Telegraph.
I think we got, like, an email on the company iPad saying, just finish your route and go home. I think I was probably drunk and half in the bag by the time the rain really hit.
So in regards to that, you know, we're talking about how people are getting upset for the beer festival, and here we are telling our stories about the Detroit storm, the Detroit flood, and how much of a hassle it was. Mind you, I was at work, you were at work, you were working in the area. I just assume you were at like 53 mile and something.
She was getting off the bus.
So far north, it doesn't affect me.
She was just getting off the school bus.
I'm just a little bit younger than you.
But imagine that to the extent of what Grand Rapids is going through right now, where people can't drive, or there's so many places, roads that are going to be closed.
Well, you know what? I envy them because they have a closer per capita brewery system. They can just walk. Somebody's got their canoe out. They probably got a little motorboat, like a bass boat. Just go.
You know what would be good is, oh no, do like traveling with, like buy a bunch of beer and like just drive your boat up and down the street selling beer like an ice cream truck.
How many times have I said
you've
beer,
already said it, but
and they're not gonna, I mean, what are the cops gonna do? I mean, are they gonna bring out their Coast Guard boat?
They're on the little goose paddle boats trying to catch up.
So I guess here's another thing. What about, and I've seen, and you know, the people who have been complaining, the idea of bringing about a class action lawsuit.
That will, first of all, if this happens, I will eat my own words.
Hold on, can we get a shoot the boot out of this?
Sure, I'll do that.
I propose we put the hoppiest beer we can find in your shoe and make you drink it.
Give me the triple IPA that the New Orthodox series from Old Nation's about to do.
Okay, the Mimai.
The Mimai.
The Mimai. I guarantee you they will give you one.
Okay, yes.
Just for this.
So, all right, we are shooting the boot, logging it. So watch your words closely.
Okay. There will be no class action lawsuit that gets settled in the favor of the people suing.
Oh, where's the fun in that? Well, that's like the – and boobs are fun or water is wet. I mean, yes,
one
obviously
of these teams will win.
Yes.
First of all, you're trying to sue a 501c3.
Yeah.
Because they're a nonprofit. So they don't make money. So I don't know where you're going to get this money. Like that's the big thing about like the Brewers Guild. They're going to probably lose a bunch of money in regards to whatever they have in their coffers for this event, between trying to like make good on some breweries. Cause I assume they're trying to like, you know, hey, if you can't do this, here's what we can do. You know, I have this innate feeling that they are good people. And they will do this to the people who put money into the guild, because they're the ones that pay for, you know, you got to understand is that like Eric, Diana, all these people who work for the Brewers Guild, this is a extra. This isn't their job. They don't get paid for it. This is just something extra. This is what they do to promote beer, to help beer. Mm-hmm. They don't, there is no money. This class action lawsuit, any lawsuit is going to lose no matter what.
I think it'll lose. I don't think it'll even get out of summary judgment, which is like, hey, this is garbage.
Is it a real thing?
It's probably
or is it just like just people making empty threats, like you like to do on the internet?
If there's anybody who is out there who is a lawyer and drinks beer and has
tweet
free
us,
time,
on draft.com.
And I'm not saying tweet us or anything at all, but I'm just saying that there's going to be a lawyer that is going to have the free time to go ahead and just throw a lawsuit out there just to see what happens. I mean, To that person, I mean, they're the one who's writing up all the paperwork. They're not charging anybody, and they're probably not really making any money off it, but they just want to say, to hell with it, I'm going to throw this out here to see what happens, and if it takes hold, then, you know, that person can actually make money off of a class action lawsuit. But it's like you guys said, it's that I don't think anything like that is actually going to have any feet off the ground. I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
So here's my million-dollar question. Why wasn't the easiest way to just be all those who don't come next week, just bring your ticket to Summer Beer Fest and you won't have to pay for Summer Beer Fest?
Instead of refund. Instant gratification. We live in a world of instant gratification. They want the money back and they want it now.
JG Wentworth like a motherfucker.
It just seems like, hey, sorry, if you can't make it, don't worry about a refund. Just bring your Winter Beer Fest ticket to, you know, the Summer Beer Fest, and we'll call it good.
But then that would lead to the possibility.
For trade Winter Beer Fest tickets.
I mean, at that point then, I mean, so then you're not going to sell any tickets for Summer Beer Fest at all. Because then if you try and sell tickets for Summer Beer Fest, all of a sudden you have this oversaturation of this huge crowd who's coming in for an event that you now don't have enough room for.
Well, you're still going to know how many tickets
you're still going to make the same amount of money because the people who are going to change their Winter Beer Fest to Summer Beer Fest tickets, those tickets will still get released for Winter for next week. And those tickets are going to get eaten up.
And plus they're going to know who goes next week. So they're going to assume half the people that didn't show up next week are just going to apply them towards the following week or following Summer Beer Fest. Or you ask them, hey, if you want to do this, just let us know. We'll put your name on a list
right, with
your ticket number, and we'll just let you in next week or next season.
Yeah. So in regards to the lawsuit, it just there's no legs. It's act of God. You are SOL.
Right.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
And if you like the thing is that everyone's talking rain or shine.
Right.
This isn't rain or shine.
This is flood. This is safety.
This was biblical.
Well, that's what act of God. Just like if lightning canceled it, or if a tornado canceled it, or
a sharknado.
God damn it!
Perchnado. It's lead. Perchnado.
Shark blizzard, something like that.
So, one of the other things too that a lot of people were talking about is why can't they move the site? And I think a lot of people are starting to learn in regards to the issues of licensing within the state, because of licensing and insurance, it's based on the address. And that's the one thing we learned here when we were looking, because, you know, for our studio, we've been offered by a lot of breweries to come do our show there weekly.
Right.
Like consistently weekly, but we can't because we can't even bring beer into that brewery.
Right.
So the rules in regards to what you have to file in the MLCC is a lot more complicated than people think. And if you think, you know, if you're one of those people that think the government's going to act really fast to get a change of venue in a day for all these licenses, the insurance, everything like that, it's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, hell, just you couldn't even get Ohio to change the 12% ABV law in five years.
Kasich got that done.
Yeah, but it took 5 years to do it. So I guess another thing I was really thinking about in terms of the beer fest is that obviously being moved to next week, and you've got people who are getting refunds, but the people who are just going to hold out and they're going to show up next week. And one scenario I thought was, what happens when those people show up, and because of, as Angela said, with plans that they have and, you know, possible plans with other breweries, certain breweries don't show up. Say you've got, you know, these bigger breweries, you know, Oddside or Shorts or New Holland, that all of a sudden, hey, sorry, now that everything's just changed, we're not going to show up, and, you know, our 30 variants of Dragon's Milk is not going to be there, or you're not going to be able to get 12. Nightmare. Well, all right.
I just had an event with them, and she said they were bringing 12 one-offs, which is pretty awesome and impressive.
All right, 2021, they will have 30. you're not going to be able to go to Oddside and get Morningwood or Nightman Leaveth. And, you know, sometimes when you go to the International Auto Show, there's certain brands you want to see. And if you don't see them there, you kind of get pissed that you're just like, well, damn, I just got on this damn people mover to go to the auto show, and for whatever dumbass reason, Chevy's not here. You go to a beer fest, and all of a sudden, you know, I was going through the beer fest app, and Bell's is going to be there, and Bell's is going to have Black Note, and I really want to try Black Note, and then all of a sudden, Bell's isn't there.
Yeah, but you bought the tickets without knowing who's going to be there in the first place.
And there's your grounds for class action lawsuit.
Why is that?
I mean, are we just pretty much just treating it like pay-per-view card subject to change without notice?
Maybe that's what they'll have to write on the ticket next year.
Well, there's no guarantee of breweries. I mean, breweries have no-showed. Breweries have, not brought all the beers that they said they would just because maybe they couldn't secure it. Maybe
the line's frozen, they couldn't pour it.
The line's frozen. I mean, again, there's so many things that can happen, and I think people just aren't being fair to logic.
So what you're saying, though, in theory, is there are hundreds, potentially thousands of kegs of craft beer sitting somewhere in Grand Rapids not being washed right now?
Over 1,000, because there's 1,000 beers.
I mean, are we just, like, thinking money train right now?
No, actually, I saw this episode.
Is this Ocean's 4?
Ocean's, yeah. The Bush 4.
Oh, my God. I don't want to be a part of that group.
But, I was actually seeing, there's this Netflix documentary called Dirty Money, and it's about the Maple Syrup Federation in Canada. And someone just jacked all the maple reserves in Montreal.
What? So
exactly.
Wait a minute. I thought they guarded that shit like Fort Knox.
They did. They do. And someone rolled up and stole them all. So let's get a U-Haul, go take the beer, fill it with empty kegs, maybe fill them with water so they have the spare, the weight.
And is this like the, oh my gosh, what's that? The gas, the tankers, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to change the tankers the one thing, and they had to like change the weight with the water and stuff to make it even. And that's where oh my gosh, that's where you learned about Tommy was his name.
I think
what was the older kid's name?
Oh jeez,
is it the ginger that shot the kid?
Yes, I was trying not to say that part. Spoiler alert!
It's been like 10 years.
Spoiler.
TV statute of limitations.
Speaking of supermarket sweep.
Right?
What do you guys think is the TV statute of limitations for, like, a TV show for spoilers?
The next season?
The next season.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's a little too soon because, in particular, The Walking Dead, I've not watched any of this season. And I'm kind of like, once the next season hits, that previous season should be on Netflix, and then I should get a chance to watch it.
Is it ruined if it's spoiled? I like spoilers. What? So you guys get mad about it if someone ruins something?
Sometimes for me, not really. It's just like, and sometimes you'll see somebody spoil something about a movie on Facebook, and I'm just like, oh, well, shit, he died. All right, never mind. I'm still going to go see the movie.
Why are we putting why are we giving these movies and TV shows so much like power and emotion over our feelings, like
instant gratification.
I don't feel it. I am so not into TV and movies. I could care less.
So I mean, we did. Matt and I did our best to not like spoil How I Met Your Mother. Would you have been upset if we said the show should have been called How I Want to Bang Your Aunt Robin?
I finally got around to banging your Aunt Robin again.
If I paid attention, I'm sure it was spoiled left and right whenever that thing happened. But I just don't give a shit. So I probably saw it and didn't even remember.
So kind of like all the ways that Ted actually saw his wife, but just not quite.
I mean,
like with the yellow umbrella and the ankle tattoo.
That's in like every other episode.
I mean, that would make sense because you're talking about a show that had what?
Nine seasons?
Like that. And you start from the beginning. It's like, I don't remember any of that.
Still make references because they've seen it like 5 times. I've only seen it once. And they go right over my head because you can't possibly catch everything the first time around anyway.
Well, that's even just with any TV show. I mean, I just did a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia trivia event over at One Eye Betty's. And like the amount of questions I asked and people still were missing questions, even with like teams of 10. They're still missing questions in regards to whatever I'm asking. I don't know.
Never have a team of 10 because that's just
how was too much, that too much the other arguing. Night?
We had 105 teams between the two sites.
Wow.
And
you should tell people that are listening that might not know what you're referring to.
Sporkle trivia.
Well, no.
Incorrect.
Quizzo. Trying to be, polite about it. We're actually going to be doing 3 venues for the Office US trivia.
Jeez. Jays.
So Pop's Italian, I think is what it's called. Is that
the sister restaurant to One-Eyed Betty's?
And Rosie O'Grady's. So all 3 of those will have, we're going to be expecting probably about 150 teams.
Jesus Christ.
Lord.
So, I mean, doesn't Sporkle do that kind of stuff?
Sporkle does do that kind of stuff. Actually, we've got a theme night that is coming up. I believe it is on March 18th, which is for Parks and Recreation.
And it's in Sunday. Ann Arbor.
One of the locations is in Ann Arbor.
It's nowhere close to us.
So, you know, there is, you know, a process, and it requires venues to be able to want to do these theme
nights. You know who would probably love to do that? Brown Iron Brewhouse in Washington Township, Michigan.
No, they wouldn't. They're a Quizzo spot. You got to go to North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. They're a Sporkle spot.
Exactly.
And they could host one of those. Yeah. North Center Brewing on North Center Road, just south of 8 Mile. Go check them out. Got a lot of beer coming out. March 18th, though, that's a Sunday, right?
I believe that is a
Sunday. Because Saturday is St. Patrick's Day.
I may even have that wrong day, because that actually, now that you say that.
This is why, you know what?
Hey, it's wrong. It's wrong.
First ever mute. I feel like we're on around the horn.
It's a wrong day. It's not the 18th. It's March 6th. Stupidness. Like completely.
So it's in 2 weeks.
It's in 2 weeks. So we got that going on. But of course, with this, with our sponsors with Sporkle Live, we do have a couple feature locations that we're hopefully you guys can get out. So head on out to Blarney Stone Pub out in Berkeley. That's north of 11 Mile in Woodward. They have trivia there Monday nights, 8 to 9.
I've done karaoke there.
Yeah,
Blarney Stone. Yeah,
what's your karaoke song?
Oh, 1 Week by Barenaked
Ladies. That's right.
Oh,
of course.
So you should just ask me what my second one is, because everyone knows pretty much it's 1 Week by BNL now. You'll never guess.
I'm
what
not going to ask. I'm just going to leave you.
Ran by Flock of Seagulls.
No.
Jumper, Third Eye Blind.
No.
Good Lord.
Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitta.
Ah.
It's a good song.
Interesting.
Is that... Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. That's the one. So go check Brian out at Blarney Stone Pub. Get some half-off burgers and enjoy that shit going on.
Shit, half-off burgers?
Damn right, half-off burgers.
I won't go for the trivia. I'll just go for the burgers.
Also check out... trivia at Falling Down Beer Company out in Warren, 10 Mile east of DeQuinder. That's Thursday nights, 8 to 9 o'clock. For you. 8 and 9 o'clock, rather. I believe Alex is the main man who is hosting up in there. Any bar owners out there that want trivia, go ahead and sign up for it. You can sign up for it for Sporkle Live Trivia Nights. Within the next 30 days, Sporkle Live will purchase a $250 gift card from your business to promote your shows. You can check that out at sporklelive.com/sales.
So what are we all drinking right now? Because we kind of like went right into the hot news of the day. So what you got over there, Mr. Robert?
So I got a can from my man Johnny over at Herman's. He gave me a can of Flying Monkey Juicy Ass IPA, which it's pretty enjoyable. Sometimes I don't see a lot of stuff from Flying Monkey around here other than that Chocolate Manifesto.
I just assume that's all they made.
Yeah, I know. That's all I see. But a buddy of mine that I used to meet up with at Ashley's, he works for a distributor, and he actually was trying to work with Flying Monkey to get more distribution out here. But I guess nothing's really come of it, because, as like I said, that's all I see is the Chocolate Manifesto. So that's pretty much what I have in right now. It's not bad.
Angela, what's up?
I've got some juicy nuggets from 450.
Some juicy nuggets?
It's okay. It's my second from this brewery past 2 days.
The label kind of looks like a cross between Fruity Pebbles and Cheetos.
And Flintstones.
Flintstones.
Yeah, it looks like the Fruity Pebbles.
Flintstone kids.
I also brought us a little oatmeal cookie from Brown Iron.
What about that Fruity and the Blowfish?
I didn't bring that one
Fruity
this week.
Fruity and the Blowfish?
It's really good. I drank one today. It's a super juicy grapefruit IPA.
Of course it is.
Because it's an IPA.
I don't understand.
That's why I didn't waste my time bringing it.
Aw, you care about me. Matt, what are you... No, sold that one. Thanks, Angela.
I'm drinking a White Claw hard seltzer. I've been waiting for these to come out in tall boys. These are stupid good. They're just a little water with a little 5% ABV in them. Nice. Good times.
I've got a Maracaibo Especial Special Brown Ale.
What's so special about it?
It is an ale brewed with cacao and spices.
Cacao.
So this was brewed or bottled like 2.5 years ago.
So the specialness is It's age.
Oh,
it's,
you know what?
It is age.
Speaking of bottled 2.5 years ago, I think I brought something that would be just for you, Ken.
Oh, uh-oh. No.
I brought...
Let's say right before we go to break...
bottle...
I'll blow your face out.
Blow your face out. That... What? I believe that bottle is from its original release.
From the... Oh, Jesus. God, I don't remember much of that show.
That might be worth giving a shot.
That yeah. might be. I mean, I have no idea what it would taste like because I hated Blow Your Face Out when it first first came out. But
I kept looking for a date. I was pretty sure that was the first release. It might be maybe a year ago, but it is at least a year and a half old.
Did they release that before they were open?
No.
Was it just other? They had some. Because
it was
stuff.
The other stuff. It was Livewire.
Oh, Livewire was their award winning IPA.
Wow.
That's got a gold medal at World Beer Fest, I believe.
It wasn't. I forgot what the hell it was called.
The one in Frankenmuth?
No, that's World Beer Expo.
It was
in Colorado, wasn't it?
No, it was in Oregon. It was Oregon. The 2018 Best of Craft Beer Awards, which actually we can go over that after the break.
Wait, Livewire won another award?
Because
this was before that. This was a couple years ago.
Yes.
So Livewire still winning awards.
And they know they know it's Livewire?
Well, they don't. They don't know it's Livewire.
It is Livewire.
That's...
LiveWire always reminds me of LimeWire. I think that's what we used to use to download illegal music.
I just assumed, like, when you started listening to music, Spotify was already out and you were...
they have a new beer coming out called
Napster.
Hey,
you guys need me on this show because I bring a nice young presence.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're definitely getting into the kindergarten cop group for sure.
Damn.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back, episode 121 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Segment 2, that tried to play a little bit early, is...
Here is Robert with the beer news.
Robert with the beer news. The camera's still directly on you, too.
Hold on, I gotta get ready.
The music continues. Hey, we're on break now. So Robert, hey. Rob, the news.
Oh, so did you hear about the Winter Beer Fest?
Yes. I am very well aware of the Winter Beer Fest.
Yeah, that's crazy shit. All right, so we'll go through a couple things. I know we haven't mentioned it a few weeks with the brewery throwdown that has been going down at Ashley's in Westland. And this year, since they switched everything back to Michigan breweries. So as far as the first round, the breweries that made it out, the final four is Old Nation, which will be taking on Oddside. Old Nation, which will be taking on Oddside. Old Nation had beat Ellison. Oddside beat Griffin Claw. On the other side of the bracket is Drafting Table, who defeated Arbor Brewing Company. And who will be taking on Canton Brew Works, who beat River's Edge. Believe they're the semifinal matchup between Old Nation and Oddside. I believe that takes place on March 23rd.
Now, is this one in Westland or in Ann Arbor?
This is in Westland. Actually, this is the 20th. I think it should be the 21st. I know because they do it on a Wednesday.
28th then.
It could be the 21st.
The 21st was last week.
21st of March.
March.
Gotcha. Yep.
March.
Yeah.
There you go. You got it? We're good. Okay. So all of it is based on sales overall, pints sold for that night. Thoughts on who makes it to the final?
Do we have a beer list at all or no?
Not yet. They won't announce the beer list until it's usually the weekend before. But might as well just put the heavy hitters in there because I think as far as Old Nation is concerned, you know, Boss Tweed's going to be in there this round and in the final if they make the final.
I think it'll be Old Nation versus Drafting Table in the finals.
Yeah, I probably agree with that just because it seems like the bracket's kind of weighted to the draft or the Old Nation side because it's Drafting Table versus who?
Canton Brew Works.
So, I mean, no disrespect to either of those, but neither of them seem as as big as either Old Nation or Boston or Oddside. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to see like Drafting Table versus Oddside as opposed to Old Nation versus Oddside. But with the way Old Nation is, I think it's going to be hard to not just completely wipe Oddside.
Right.
No offense, I love Oddside's beer.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like I was saying at a break, I've finally got a couple bottles of Morningwood, and really looking forward to trying this stuff because I've never had it, and hopefully this shit is really, really good.
But I think the thing is, you know, outside they're going to bring heavy beers. Like Old Nation doesn't bring heavy beers, so you can just in the transitive properties of drinking beers, drink more outside because they're lighter and easier to crush versus your thick Nightman Leaveth or Morningwood Stout. I mean, you can drink so many more M53 or Boss Tweeds just because they go down so much easier.
I mean, more of the M43 than a Boss Tweed.
Exactly. And just you get that heavy, hearty, malty, you know, stout beer with the Nightman Leaveth. It's going to sit with you for a minute. You can just crush M43s.
I'll crush Nightman Leaveths, and I'll just take an Uber home on that one.
Yeah, I think you're going to drink the same amount no matter what if you want to participate and try to help your team win. Or your brewery win, or whoever win.
Just bring a shitload of people.
Yeah.
You can stack them in there. Some news came out today about New Belgium. Obviously, we've started to really catch some effects of this craft beer slowdown as New Belgium is basically laying off 28 employees across the production, administration, finance, human resources, and IT departments. This is
my favorite brewery.
And they're making a little bit because, I mean, I don't know. I guess everybody's got to make some cuts. But basically, this is coming after basically 3 months after the company consolidated sales territories, which resulted in the termination of 6 salespeople. So basically, that's kind of what we're looking at with New Belgium, and hopefully that will stop any other layoffs that are going to be happening. But obviously with their layoffs, you've got Green Flash that changed all of their distribution. You've got the auction of Smutty Nose that happened last, I think it was a couple weeks ago, or at least was setting up for an auction. They're still pretty positive with the layoffs. Obviously it's small, but it's kind of interesting to see another brewery that is taking a hit when these numbers are going down this year.
It sounded like they were redundant jobs, like HR and finance, right?
Finance, like, IT. I knew obviously there were some salespeople that were gone too, and like I said, that's in terms of, I guess, in a way redistricting. Their sales territories.
It just seems like a lot of those jobs that, I mean, I'm sure they're needed, but, you know, IT makes, you know, so many jobs redundant these days. Do you really need 3 people working payroll on a Friday? Or, you know, you get everybody's stuff in on a Thursday, you just run it, you call it a day, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. HR Angela?
HR.
I don't do that. I always thought it'd be fun.
Toast point of sale guy. I mean, you do run payroll through point of sale?
Yeah, all of our point of sale. So we don't do like payroll itself, like cutting checks, but we get all the labor reporting through the system
itself.
I mean,
sounds like they're eliminating jobs that are just kind of on top of one another.
It could be. I mean, they're just could be dead areas. I mean, when you're fighting for shelf space, do you really want to fight to try to like break even, or do you want to fight for where you're already making a profit? Because if you're fighting in such a clustered area, you're not going to win, especially because you're New Belgium. You're a big brewery. You're not the small local anymore.
But they are employee-owned.
They are.
So why fire, lay people off or let them go versus cross-the-board budget cuts? Like, hey, we can either let 10 people go or everyone takes a 2% pay decrease.
They're going to let people go.
Right. I mean, it's either let people go or, it's like I said, do a 10% decrease on everybody's pay. You may potentially lose more people based on losing that amount.
Do you put that to a vote since everyone's kind of equal in that? And then maybe by even putting out that email, people start looking for jobs and you get the turnover that you want without getting rid of anybody.
But, I mean, I guess putting to a vote is going to do the same thing.
Does it?
I mean, I would feel like if they put it to a vote and say it, you know, it wins out 52-48 and everybody takes a 10% pay cut.
But hold on, is that during the popular or the electoral college?
They're employee owned, but you have to remember is that not one employee, one vote. It's all based on how much you have in shares.
Yeah, too fair.
And if you're the CEO, COO, any C-level, if you're any high VP, anything like that, you're going to have a lot more shares than just,
come in like
you
a
know.
Rock it doesn't matter.
Jesus Christ. It can happen. Like, you can have a coup in regards to that, but the high levels are going to have over 50%. I can guarantee it.
You don't think you'll see a bunch of bikes circling around the executive offices? Ring, 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 ring.
It sounds like the start to a bet, one of those, like, the Warriors or something like that.
No, it's the fight at Anchorman 2.
The fight at Anchorman 2. Oh, my God.
Goodness. All right. Well, we kind of alluded to this one before the break. The Best of Craft Awards took place in Bend, Oregon a couple weekends ago, which now, according to organizers, become the third largest brewing competition in the U.S., with over 2,000 breweries. The one going that went home with the trophy for Brewery of the Year is Breakside Brewing of Portland. Hopefully we can get some of that beer out here because apparently it's absolutely amazing. Did well enough to take home 11 medals, including 4 gold medals. And wow. They've got 3 locations out in the Portland area and known for a diverse portfolio of beers, including barrel-aged and sour beers, fruity Berliner Weiss-style yes. beers. Yeah, one of Matt's favorites. Definitely sounds like they're worth looking into. They are distributing. They do distribute in 10 other states, along with the British Columbia and Alberta. But, of course, the interesting part with these Best of Craft Beer Awards, there were 3 Michigan breweries that took home medals. There was the Era, I always screw up with my Irish, from Cedar Springs here in Michigan, won a bronze in a category of Irish-style dry stout or export stout. The Buck Rider by North Pier Brewing in Benton Harbor won a gold in American Belgio style ale.
Just as a side note, that's a really neat small little brewery over there. The North Pier Brewing.
They're the ones that make the beer in the stubby bottles, right?
I think you're thinking of North Peak.
North Peak, okay.
Yes. Oh, that is true.
Okay.
Yes, North Pier is just a small little micro.
Okay. And the gold in English-style summer ale going to Livewire from Roke in Royal Oak.
Now, there was a clip art section that was also part of the competition?
To be honest, as much as you make fun of it, this is a really good logo.
You always do this.
That's the only good one, though. Livewire is...
The Livewire looks like you're on a beach, and it really looks like a generic MS Paint font. Like, it looks like the back of a solitaire deck.
That is such a random pull. Like, I don't even know. Like, I just have no response to that.
See, and the thing is that, and I think we've brought it up before, where we've always talked about tap handles and how tap handles will draw you to a certain beer. So, as far as the labels are concerned, you're looking at a Roke label. You're not touching it just based on the label alone. That's pretty much where it sounds like it's where you would go.
I don't know. Like, I guess when Roke came out, I was selling against it, so I think I have a little bit of a bias towards it. Go figure. But I don't know. It just doesn't really register to me, maybe. Like, the concept that I think it's maybe more of how they came about. Like, they literally planted a flag and just started shipping beer. And
yeah.
Instead of, like, yeah. built up a following, and then people discovered it as good beer and then started shipping.
I mean, they're still here, so I'd have to say it at least worked to some aspect.
Do you think that Axl kind of did something similar, too? Just
no.
like... Okay.
Well, Axl.
Sorry. That was really rude of me, and I will take that back. No, for Axl, just because I've heard the story and like how much Dan Reilly just hates the whole thing, because they literally just took over Milking It Productions and fixed it.
Was it called Milking It Productions?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's
MIP.
Cool.
It was like Mill King K I N G.
Oh, I thought you were just like sticking with the bad joke. You're just milking it.
Oh no! It's an actual. It was called Milking It Productions. That's where Brick was. That's where the Axel beer was. Snow City. So they had a lot of beers, but the thing is that they are not they took it over and literally just laid everyone off and said, we're just taking this over. So they had the place for production based brewing, but they didn't have a tap room. They went backwards, whereas Roque was just like, hey, we're going to produce and have a tap room. So I think they had the ability, what they purchased was a production facility. So you had to do production.
Fair. Yeah, I guess pumping out beer, not under a name that people didn't know, and it was just okay. It wasn't great beer, and then to open up, and to float by and everyone's like, oh, that's Axel. And then they open up this beautiful tap room and the beers there are good and the food is so good. I mean, it's a beautiful tap room.
Shout out to Dan, by the way, because
I guess I was just thinking I mean, maybe if they hadn't opened that tap room, how much longer would we be seeing Axel beer around?
That's a fair question. Yeah. It's a very fair question.
And like I said, shout out to Dan. I did stop in there.
Did you have the Wolf Mother?
Yes, I got the I got a couple bottles of the Wolf Tone. The barrel aged Imperial Stout. I guess for me, for an Imperial Stout that is barrel aged, it was thinner than I expected, but. Even for that, it was still definitely enjoyable.
Was it cut?
It was not cut.
Okay. Oh my god!
Enough with that. A couple other
died.
I'm still milking. I'm milking it.
Obviously, a couple other awards that that were around in the area. Our neighbors to the south in Toledo, Black Cloister won a couple silvers. One for their Rekindle. In the category of chili pepper beer. I didn't realize there actually was a category for that. And another one, another silver for True Scotsman for Scotch Ale. So that was pretty much it for the award. So big up on them.
So you said it's the third largest beer. What are the top two then? Is it World Beer Expo and World Beer Fair then?
I don't think World Beer Expo is that big.
Great American Beer Fest?
GABF's probably number one.
I would think, yeah, I guess they would be one. I have no idea what would be two. It's funny because they're
Extreme
with the article.
Seems to be bigger than I thought. Extreme Beer Fest in Boston.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. I don't know if it is the
second,
the number two. I'm kind
of
like.
It could almost even be like something we've never even heard of. And like, when, it could be something California. California is such a big state. Who knows?
Right. I mean, with all the breweries that they have, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. So true. All right, so another one. We got to go back to Maryland on this one because Maryland is just fucking up. I don't know what's going on out there. So the Old Line State sat it again with their back-end legislative bills. I know early last year we talked about House Bill 1283, which is a bill that was allowed breweries to sell more beer annually in-house but required new breweries to close their tap rooms no later than 10 p.m. on the weekends, except for the one new location that was showing up being the upcoming Guinness Tap Room. So now there are two new bills which basically are going against each other. There's House Bill 518, which is being supported by the craft brewers and supposedly by Diageo, which is the parent company of Guinness. Its aim is to loosen restrictions on beer sales and modernizing the state beer laws, making Maryland similar to other states that have made craft beer into major tourism. The second bill is House Bill 1052, being supported by the distributorships, which would put lower limits on craft breweries while being beneficial to that still of Guinness, which Guinness had actually put out a press release on their website saying that they do not support 1052. So a couple highlights as far as the bills from 518.
That's the good one.
That's the good one. It would remove all limits on beer production, taproom sales, and take-home sales. Repeal the buyback provision that requires brewers to purchase their beer from distributors at a marked-up cost if they exceed the 2,000-barrel limit on taproom sales. Lift unnecessary restrictions on take-home sales. Let local jurisdictions set guidelines for taproom operating hours. allow smaller breweries to self-distribute, and remove restrictions on contract brewing that inhibit startup businesses. Now, 1052...
That's the bad one.
...would reduce the amount of annual taproom sales allowed from 2,000 barrels to 500 barrels.
Wow.
Directly prohibit contract brewing of any kind in the state, and restrict sample sizes at all breweries. This is some petty shit right here. Restrict sample sizes at all breweries to only 3 ounces per style or brand.
So a paddle or a flight would only be 3 ounces per?
I think there
wouldn't even be able to have flights because it's 3 ounces per brand.
It's 3 ounces for the beer. Like, you can't get a pint anymore. That's what I'm reading in that.
Oh, I thought it said sample size, so I was thinking flight.
Well, I think if you go to a brewery, everything's a sample, isn't it?
If it's, I mean, if you're courageous enough, then sure.
Well, that's how I read it, is that you can't get more than a 3 ounce sample of the beer.
It reads to me like if you're going to get a sample of beer, like a flight, which range from 3 to 5 ounces, it's got to be 3 ounces.
So if you do know, reach us out to us, Twitter, Better on Draft, Facebook, Better on Draft, and correct us.
Or Twitch us.
Or Twitch us,
or
yeah.
Or Twitch us.
Hop on Twitch.tv/BODPodcast. BODPODCAST. You can listen to us live every Friday from 7 to 9 Eastern. But, yeah, I read it as, like, 3 ounces, period. Like, you can't have any more. Because there are a lot of, like, places, like breweries in other states where there's no tap house. You just get samples while you're there. That's it.
So what's the drive behind the 1015 bill? Like, people just got their
babies. The 1052.
The 1052. I think the drive is just really with the distributors, because I think the distributors feel that with 518, they get screwed out of making any money or making more money than, you know, what they're making now or what they would make with 1052. I mean, you're talking about getting rid of the buyback provision. So a brewery, we'll say, you know, Union Brewery, which, you know, by the way, they make Double Duck Pin. I absolutely love that shit. They go past 2,000 barrels. They now have to sell their barrels to the distributor, local distributor, and then buy them back so that they can sell them again in the tap room. In a way, it's not fair to Union because, you know, it's their beer. They brewed it. They should be able to sell it in their own tap room. But distributor, obviously, they're looking at it and say, well, wait a minute. We still have to make our money because we're trying to distribute beer and trying to sell the beer. And here comes a distributor with his hand up. Just go. Just go.
So the law is you can't sell beer, right? Is that kind of the premise? Like, if you sell more than 2,000 barrels of beer?
If you sell more than 2,000 barrels of beer, then you have to sell your – you have to basically sell your barrels to the distributor.
I'd like to introduce the Cheech and Chong defense of we're not selling beer. We're giving beer away with a cover charge of $7. And every time they finish a beer, they have to walk outside and they can walk back in for another $7, and we'll give them another pint. Thus, we're not directly charging them for drinking the beer. We're charging them to walk in, and they can just, they're members, and they get to have beer then for free.
I mean, I'm sure there's ways around it that they'll make sure to try. So I'm looking at the article a little bit more, and it looks like the two people who are trying to introduce the HB 1052 are two senators who just happen to have family members who are in the liquor
control business.
Well, the distro business and the liquor store business.
Oh.
So you could tell that there was probably some lobbyists and lobbying in regards to, like, I'm 100% against the whole purchase and buyback in your own site.
Own liquid?
Yeah. That is really, really annoying. Like, there's no good way to do it except you're just penalizing the fact that these people can make beer and you can't.
And I guess it seems like you're stunting growth of business. Like, what if, and I always go back to accountants, what if you could only do, like, 499 tax returns for clients, but you had, like, lines out the door? Or what if you could only sell 499 car insurance policies? Or right. You can only sell 499 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, because I mean, if I was a brewer and I hit 1999 barrels, I'd be closing the rest of the year, or I'd be shortening hours, or right. I'd be doing something, because the amount of money you lose at 2K,
right? You're
because you need to go from like 1999 to like 5K or something like that just to up all that money you're losing.
And I mean that's basically what Maryland's comptroller Peter Franchot had basically said. He had even said on a Facebook post that House Bill 1052. For all intents and purposes, destroy the craft brewing industry in the state of Maryland, and he was one of the proponents who helped propose, you know, House Bill 518. His entire idea with this is that if the breweries have the freedom to make and sell their beer, that would help in Maryland's tourism.
Sure,
and thus the state makes more money; they get more tax money and. You know, everybody's happy in the state of Maryland. But he basically he came out with a statement and said, you know, as bad as House Bill 1283 was, which was one of the originals that passed, that 1052 is so much worse. And it would send a message once and for all that our state's government is hostile to our current and future craft brewers and indifferent to the jobs, economic growth and neighborhood reinvestment they provide. One of Maryland's great breweries, Union Craft Brewing, has already stated publicly that this bill would jeopardize its future here in Maryland. So
do we put a flyer out and see if they want to come over here to Michigan?
I mean, I certainly would not be opposed to it, because I think as far as I have a buddy that's out there, and he brought some stuff from Union, and I would highly recommend it. So I would have no problem with them coming to Michigan at all.
I don't understand. A lot. Like, I understand why they did it, because it's obvious why they're trying to make it. But looking at, like, the information, and this article is available on Pace Magazine if you guys want to check it out. But it's going to reduce the sales in tap rooms by 75%.
Yeah, I mean, from 2,000 to 500, right?
That's a lot of beer. That's a lot of profit. That's a lot of everything.
Like, well, it doesn't reduce it. It just means that it's just a lower level before they have to distribute, right? So does that change their break even point then? Like, if they sell 500 in house, then they have to sell 2,000 between. Like,
I would be curious what their rate is in regards to how much money they lose on the sell and repurchase. Like, right. what's a typical upcharge for distro?
30%.
So you would need to make 30% more.
And mind you,
beers, so you're looking at 200 more
barrels
probably, and when you factor in all the other things.
And then if you are a new brewery, you're going to have to do that in 3 less hours on the weekend. You're talking because if
the 10 o'clock rule,
because the 10 o'clock rule, if you are a new brewery, you can't be open past 10 o'clock.
I think that's the bigger sin here is what the hell's with why is 10 o'clock anything? Like, that's so arbitrary. Like,
because Guinness.
Do I have to go milk the cows at 3 o'clock in the morning? Is that, do we need to be in bed?
I maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. That's the one north of 59.
Guinness gets to, because of what their license would be in the state, they get the exception to that rule. So essentially, any new brewery closes at 10. Meanwhile, here's big ass Guinness that's down the street that gets to stay open until 2.
If Guinness was true to their word and against it, Guinness should be the one that says we'll pull out of Maryland if this law goes through, because that's the only way that's going to change. I think Guinness is all talks, trying to act like it's for the little guy, but they're the ones that win the most.
Interesting concept.
That
like
is.
You got my brain rolling a little bit on that one.
Ooh, brain rolling.
Because they changed laws for Guinness. To fight for Guinness to get there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's. I think no matter what, it's going to have to be a port city for Guinness, too.
Not necessarily.
I mean, I just
there have this. There are 13 colonies.
There are.
There were, anyways.
I mean, they're still there.
The Commonwealth.
See, and the problem with their statement is that they still supported 1283, which was the bill which essentially pushed any new brewery from being able to stay open late.
Yeah, so I think Guinness is playing both sides here. I'm calling shenanigans on Guinness. Shenanigans, Guinness.
I mean, I just... That really throws me off now, because I'm just like, well, why... why are you supporting one that you're basically saying that you're okay with the competition, so you don't support 1052, but you support not having a competition by enjoying the privileges of being able to stay open later because of 1283.
You know what they said, membership has the privileges.
Well, that's American Express. I ain't got time for that shit.
I'm looking at the information in regards to the brewery system over at Guinness right now. Or the one in Maryland, like what's going on, like where they are. Like from what I can gather, it looks like it's open already.
Oh. Okay.
So, oh, it's just like, it just says a test tap room. So it's kind of just like, they got like a small little tap room that's going on right now until their actual brewery opens.
I was going to say, because I don't remember that they were actually going to brew. I thought there was.
Oh, they're
going to
be brewing there. Just not brewing Guinness. Like Guinness.
They're brewing like the American IPA.
Yeah, they're going to be brewing a bunch of American beers.
Yeah, that'll go over like a fart in church, won't it?
Do farts in church go over?
Pretty well.
I would say I haven't done that in a long time.
So let's take a quick break on that note because I know I'm looking at a lot of stuff. Yep. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. So as always with segment three, we have five questions with Matt Bush.
Is it
like the episode of How I Met Your Mother when Marshall's dad dies and Robin goes? She's got all the stuff coming out of her purse.
That's a like amazing and bad episode. Who got Cousin Daphne drunk? She's 14.
Man, they grow them big out here.
Here's your number back.
All right, boys and girls, welcome, welcome, welcome. So I had to change up the mystery beer halfway through the day. So the first two questions were supposed to lead you into clues.
I don't know which one my mystery beer is.
It's the one that doesn't smell. Yeah, the heady one that doesn't smell like an oatmeal raisin cookie.
It looks like it has like a toxic foam on top.
Yeah, look at the lacing. So I'll give you extra points if you could figure out what the mystery brewery was going to be with answer number one and number two.
Was it Grand River Brewing?
No. So question number one.
Too soon.
Glasshouse.
Don't get me started with them right now.
So question number one. Yellow Jackets and Bulldogs are mascots of the two major universities of this state.
Georgia.
All right. I'm going to need you to finish your beer because you might spit. There's a long scientific word that I don't want to make anybody spit out, do a spit take.
Okay.
A herpetologist.
Herpetologist.
Not as funny as you wanted it to be. Oh.
Damn. She says 10 words through the entire day.
Five of them come down on me. Studies this amphibious animal.
Herpetologist. Amphibious animal.
Herpetologist.
Oh, wow. Was that a clue?
Was that a frog thing?
That's a turtle.
It kind of sounds, I don't know, tortoises?
Or is it turtles?
It's turtles, yes.
Herp? I like turtles.
So, between Georgia and turtles, do you know what brewery I was going to choose?
Terrapin.
There you go. However, I did not because I could not find a can of Terrapin in the market today.
You should have hit me up. I could have brought you some.
Well, then you would have known.
Not like I'm going to get it anyway.
I know, good point. You're pretty useless anyways.
Oh, damn.
All right.
I have to send both of you in timeout.
All right. So the description of this beer is a 3.7 out of 5. Enjoyed from a 12-ounce can in a pint glass.
Nice. Wait. Is enjoyed in quotes?
No. This is from, well, again, 3 out of 7 out of 5. All so right. This nice insert style pours a deep cola blackish brown with wisps of light brown highlights and a nice head of light tan foam that settles to a thick ring, thin layer, and excellent lacing. Nose of cocoa, coffee, raisins, and deeply roasted malts. Flavors follow the nose, deeply roasted grains, rye bread crust, cold-pressed coffee, and cocoa swinging in a touch of lactose cream with a bitter malt aftertaste. What I want this style to taste like, satisfying and roasty. full mouthfeel with a moderate carbonated finish, lightly bitter roasted caramel malt with a subtle hop character. A new favorite from this brewery, this Michigan brewery, a different style drinker's joy. Very nice.
Very nice.
I like. Do you like?
I haven't had it yet, so okay. we're gonna go in here.
I mean, as far as nose is concerned, it's like all I smell are dates.
That's interesting.
I mean, it's pretty damn clean.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not getting much.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, obviously being dark, it's not a stout. It's got to be a porter.
Angel, have you had this before?
I don't know if I've had it before, but I tried it just now.
I'm trying to get, like, taste, and I'm not getting anything. Like, I'm getting a lot, but I'm not getting any definition.
That, like, kind of weird sour sweetness, maybe. Yeah,
that sour is definitely there. The coffee is definitely there. So, God. Well, it's a Michigan brewery, so I already know that. We got three questions to go.
It's also warm. So, I kind of feel like it didn't come from a growler or a crowler. Maybe something else.
Like a can or a bottle?
He purchased and let it sit in his car for a while.
That's typical Matt fashion.
You guys know me way too well.
Trunk aged.
Because if it was, like, cold, that means you would have just picked it up, most likely.
Does it now?
But I actually think that if it was cold, I think I would actually like it less.
Well, so you like the room temperature on this one.
I mean, it's okay. I mean,
if I got a little more heat out of it, I think I would like it a little more.
Heat as in warmth or spice?
Spice.
So you want spice in this beer.
Like,
well, you should drink
a spice
that oatmeal cookie.
Or a whiskey or something like
something
barrel
with a bite to it.
Yeah,
it's so damn clean.
It's right there.
So I mean, you're kind of upset that the beer is so clean.
Yeah,
isn't that kind of bad. Like first world craft beer problems? Damn it, this beer doesn't have enough flavoring to it.
Wait,
it's just perfectly.
It's not bad, but obviously, you know what I'm drinking and what I want.
Craft beer drinkers love adjuncts. Throw more shit in it to make us happy.
But not actual shit.
Yeah, don't do anything with peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, because that's just not original.
Oh. I see what you were there. All right.
Man, that was a lot of fun while we were brewing beer and doing absolutely nothing while the beer was brewing.
I'm so mad I was not there. Ugh.
So let's do the first one. Is this brewery, because I want to kind of get at least a... like a general area. So let's do with our 127. I like that east west area. So is this west of 127?
It is.
It is west of 127.
Where's 127?
127 cuts through east, like it's basically
it's the middle
Lansing
yeah,
and
the middle finger.
Pass. So it's not East Lansing. It's not Detroit, Flint, Austin Bros. Because there's no reason to say Alpina when it's just the Austin Bros.
Unless you're referring to Austin Brothers or Die Hard 2.
Nothing in Ann Arbor, nothing in Jackson. So that leaves us with Battle Creek, Marshall, Kazoo, Grand Rapids, Traverse City.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah, yeah.
Holland.
But, I mean, it makes us think, at least in that area. Like,
sure.
It gives us...
It's not local.
Yeah, it's not... God damn. I guarantee you it's a porter. Like that is not a stout.
It's definitely not a stout.
Yeah, speaking of which, as I go off on, I had the Baltic Porter at Jamex last night.
Oh
my
side of town
god,
last
it was
night?
So good. Yeah,
you were on my side of town.
I was on your side.
You didn't
of
say
town.
Hello.
I went to Baffin and they were packed.
You didn't even stop. You didn't,
oh my god, they were packed.
You weren't in Baffin.
But you got to go see our friends at Jamex.
Yeah, I got
cool.
to see Kat was there.
They've been. I mean, I actually just I saw them on Facebook recently. They have a 5-star review.
Awesome.
Or I mean, like. Did I say that right? Five stars, like nothing lower than a five. That's really impressive.
Their brewery is very, very good, and they're turning beers out a lot faster than they expected.
That's awesome. I've only 16. Heard good things, you know, from our community since they opened, and it's a tough crowd, as we know.
Yes. Right. Yes, that was discussed, too. The tough crowd. All right, so let's get... So we know it's a porter, so we don't need to ask that question.
So we have a West Michigan porter is what you're telling me.
A West Michigan porter. So I'm just literally staring at a map. Like,
is it the Better on Draft beer map?
It is not the Better on Draft beer map.
BetterOnDraft.com / MI beer
map? MI beer map, yes. No, I'm literally looking right at the map just because I would think if I'm looking at the Michigan beer map from Better on Draft, it would just be so cluttered that I wouldn't be able to see it. But
I don't know. I feel like the first two questions are always geographical. I wonder.
Do you have a non-geographical question? Go for it.
No, because I was just thinking, should we just, you know, throw Grand Rapids area in there? And if that's a no, then, you know, either we got to go to Kalamazoo or we got to go north.
So like 25 miles within Grand Rapids. I mean,
yeah,
Grand Rapids.
I was thinking like Metro Grand Rapids. You know, the way they treat Metro Detroit. Like
Holland, know. Grand Rapids, Muskegon. That's about it.
Yeah,
like, are we fine with those three cities?
I mean, like pretty much like how people from Sterling Heights say they
Grand
live
in Detroit. Haven. Let's put that in there.
How everybody who lives north of 8 Mile lives in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, so you gave me a list of cities, and I have to tell you if the beer's from one of those cities. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So we're going Grand Haven, Muskegon, Grand Rapids, like Grand Rapids that includes like Comstock Park, Holland, and we'll just throw Saugatuck in there.
All right, so Grand Haven, Grand Rapids, Holland, and what other?
Saugatuck, Muskegon.
Okay, you are in the wrong quadrant of Michigan still.
Wrong quadrant?
Well, you've said, I mean, Holland is almost directly south of Muskegon.
Yep.
So there's a western boundary. Muskegon over to, I guess, Comstock Park. Comstock Park down through Grand Rapids.
And so the answer is no. It's
back
not
over
in that
area. To, yeah, you are. These are not the brews that you are looking for.
So it's either a Traverse City or a Kalamazoo brew. Because I can't even think of a porter from Marshall, Dark Horse.
Right.
I don't shut up, John Pippenbrock. Ask him. Fluffer Nutter if he knows.
Mini shout out to John
Pippenbrock. It's got to be Kalamazoo. Bell's Porter? Have we had Bell's Porter? We haven't had Bell's Porter on the show. That gets distroed. Angela, when was the last time you had Bell's Porter?
I don't remember Bell's Porter being this bitter.
I don't remember Bell's Porter at all.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all. If I've ever even had it, to be honest.
God damn, this has got to be in distro. I really think we could get a good guess if we figure out if it came in a can or a bottle.
All right, throw it. Oh, obviously, okay. That's a can.
I kind of dropped out for a sec. So as far as like location goes,
so we are.
Where is Arcadia? Is that in or out?
Arcadia is in Kalamazoo.
That's Kalamazoo.
So that
is
would
that
be
in the running too.
But Arcadia is a bottle,
right?
And we just figured out it's a can.
It's a can because our yeah.
So we just lowered it down to Right Brain.
Right Brain.
Right. I'm trying to think what else.
Who else does cans over there? That's not in the Grand Rapids metro area.
Not in the Grand Rapids metro area. Obviously not Dark Horse, now that we know it's a can.
Right.
It's not Saugatuck, even though that was in our list. Right. Portage, Latitude 42.
Lat 42.
They can.
Oh, could it be?
What's they have the Powerline Porter. Does Petoskey can? Yeah, Petoskey cans.
Petoskey does can.
Does Petoskey have a porter?
They probably do, but I don't remember seeing it in cans.
No, Petoskey's technically east of 131.
Considering, I mean,
I'm giving Matt a chance to fix his answer, so now we know it's not Petoskey.
I mean, we're keeping everything is, but no, because I mean, basically. He gave us quite a bit.
What?
So this has got to be
Petoskey is east of 131.
I feel
you said 171.
What the hell is 171?
You said 127, by the way.
Oh, did I say 127?
Yeah.
Damn. Said,
as the Germans say, Eschein Schwanz.
All right.
You're welcome. I don't know.
No habla español.
Right. I guess I was kind of thinking with the amount that he poured, this is not a 12-ounce can. This is a pint.
Well, both Petoskey and
Petoskey does
Latitude.
But why do you think that? Because there's only three. You didn't pour yourself one, did you?
I don't think so, no.
So there's only three cups.
I still kind of felt like.
But still, I mean, that could have been four. There was so much head on it. We couldn't even tell how much beer was in it.
Yeah, Matt does not know how to pour beer. We need to get him a class.
Yeah, if I were only a certified beer server.
Maybe we should take him to
Zatuna Liquor
over in Rochester Hills. Jack can teach you a few things about pouring
beer. Where is Zatuna Liquor?
It's on Rochester Road, just south of M59 in Rochester Hills.
Gotcha.
Ass.
Good to know.
So we have one more question.
Yeah, we do. Oh, jeez. I guess with me thinking it was a bigger can, I wasn't trying. Excuse me. I was trying to eliminate Black Rocks.
Well, I mean, just take what I said as a
what's Black Rocks porter?
Because I would imagine Black Rocks has one, but
here we go. We're just gonna do another geographical thing because I think we're gonna be able to figure this out.
All right.
Is this south of 96?
I'm gonna have to get back to the map. We should really start bringing a map to this.
You should have a map up
ready to go for for these questions, knowing full well this is going to be there. But if it's not in Grand Rapids, it's on the west side of 131.
It is south of 96.
This is Powerline Porter by Latitude. There is no other canned porter.
There you go. Powerline.
Yeah, there's no other canned porter. Like we kind of you gave us the can and that gave us the extra.
Well, there you go. I'm a team player. What can I say? So as has been briefly discussed, we did have other plans that say we took a rain check on, if you will.
Oh,
to tsunami.
So what is your?
Oh jeez.
Oh man.
Jeez, stop! Yeah. Don't flood us with puns.
Wow,
that took me a second. I'm only gonna acknowledge that one.
When it rains, it pours.
I think we all need to be muted for a second. A moment of silence.
Oh, I wanted to add, but I suck.
So I think
just
we
make those puns rain,
right?
I think we all had our favorite thing, like when we were sick or we had a snow day. So what is your favorite thing to do or your favorite memory of your unexpected day offs as either today when you just don't have to go to work or when you were a kid and you would just not have to go to work?
So two things as a kid. One, obviously, and I don't know who didn't, Price is Right.
Correct.
Damn right.
You always watch the Price is Right.
Always.
Number two, especially if it was a snow day, making money.
Shoveling snow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was out from like 8 to 11, had my little Timex watch, so I knew when to get back for
Price is Right. The aforementioned Price is Right.
Yes.
Have lunch, 11 to 12, watch Price is Right, and then go off and make more money.
See, I think that's mine is whenever I had a day off, it was grilled cheese and tomato soup day, especially if it was cold. But if you had the cold too, tomato soup and grilled cheese cure all ills.
What's interesting, I never got, like, sick as a kid. Like, I had enough,
I had enough
headaches and migraines in my life to give to anyone, but, like, I never got, like, sick. I'm trying to think. Like, even when I got expelled, like, I literally did nothing.
What'd you get expelled for?
I didn't get expelled. I got suspended indefinitely barring a hearing in front of the school district board.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah, how have I never told you guys this?
I would say I have no idea what.
Take it to 9 o'clock, Ken.
What?
There isn't much to
it. .5 for this.
.1.
So this would have been my junior year. We had figured out a teacher's password.
Oh, geez.
Now this is 2002. The teacher's password, very very hard.
Password
powers.
Just
the word Powers, P-O-W-E-R-S.
Was that their last name?
No, it was not.
Their maiden name, perhaps?
He gave it to us.
Oh.
Oh, so, okay.
So this was like in October of the year. So we were trying to figure out like how to get past like the internet filtering system to play Flash games and stuff.
What, you had the internet in 2002?
Hell yeah, you did.
Seriously?
Yeah, we did. We had cable back then. That was back when only places like school had cable.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you were I was downloading music at school. I didn't have cable. Like I had dial up until 2003, 2004.
I had like CD Now in like seventh and eighth grade where you listened to albums. Pre Amazon.
Continue.
So because we knew a teacher's password, so we had tried to do a few things, like try to get past a filtering system, just see where we could go. So fast forward to like April, right before spring break, some D-bag who found out the password from one of us got in a lot of trouble. Oh. Like they apparently were threatening to call the FBI on him. Jeez. Yeah, that was bullshit.
Wow.
So he rolled on us faster than just anything. Just named all four of us. And we're like, well, shit. So we all got suspended, barring we all had to have individual hearings. And the ringleader, aka the one who got the password, finished with a 5-day suspension. I finished with 4, and we all were not allowed to use school computers again
for the, like the remainder of your term. Wow.
That changed really quick too. Because like teachers were pissed.
The password or?
No, the not being able to use a computer.
Oh, yeah, because if you're in a class.
The teacher's like, well, you can't use a computer, so I guess just sit there.
Damn.
I remember in about the same time as when we had installed SNES and 8-bit Nintendo modulators on all the computers on a flash drive. so many classes were actually Tech Mobile class.
Yes.
Or what was the like the old basketball game, like
was Double
NBA
Dribble?
Jam.
Double Dribble.
Double Dribble.
It was either Double Dribble or Tecmo Bowl was pretty much.
Man, I still play Double Dribble.
I'm sorry.
That shit from 2,000 miles away. I still fight with my brother who gets to be player two. And you know the bug where basically if you're a player two, you can shoot a three pointer from anywhere and go in.
I did not know that.
No, you. Oh my god!
Because again, I grew up with NBA Jam, so you could jump it. You can hit the jump button anywhere, and you would just dunk from the other side of the court.
And actually, it wasn't not necessarily from anywhere. It was always from the screen at the very top. If you're behind the line, you shoot a three. It was basically 99% of the time, regardless of how you shot it, it was going in. We fought all the time over who got to be player two.
Well, I believe there's a long – anyways, so I guess –
So, Rob, what did you do as a kid? Did you, like
– Oh, it's just going back to you. It was like Price is Right, and, you know, I'll show my damn age. I remember watching Bob Barker when he had actually brown hair before this shit went gray. And I just sat there because – and we had a rule where we couldn't go outside before noon anyway because my mom was always the thought of what the fuck the kids actually have to do in the morning outside. So screw that. You're staying in until noon. So what the hell else was there to do but to watch Price is Right? Preceded by a classic Concentration and Sale of the Century.
Classic Concentration. That is such a classic video game.
Oh, my God. Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek.
I forgot he was the host of that, too. I used to play the DOS game of that.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that along with Oregon Trail.
Angela, what about you?
I like to sleep. I still like to sleep.
So on a snow day, you just went back to sleep and slept all day?
Well, we had snowmobiles, so we would play outside.
And just go to school in the
but
snow.
But I would sleep a lot, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, how would you get snow days anyway? Because, I mean, basically, your buses are snowmobiles anyway, right?
Toboggans.
Right?
I grew up on a dirt road, so we never got plowed.
Sounds like a personal problem to me.
Wow. But, Seriously.
Wait, you went to my high school. Where did you grow up?
On a dirt road. On Campground Road, yes.
Ass.
Good Lord.
I don't know if I ever got the day off, though, when I was in that district.
Oh, my senior – I actually just told this story. We had
so happened
many,
last week.
You're so dumb. We had so many bomb threats my senior Jesus year Christ. That we started getting full days off, like optional days that you didn't have to go to school because there was a bomb threat.
What the fuck?
In 2009.
Wow.
Man. You're an angry elf.
Jeez, what the hell?
So, well, bomb threats go into question number five.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, I don't have plans for my birthday next week, so I've kind of got an idea, but what is the best beer-related place to go to around town, Metro Detroit, for, like, parties and stuff like that?
Beer-related...
Because I'm going to go, I think I'm going to be checking out Ready Player One, the Beercade.
I need to get up there.
So, obviously, you got to think of Pop Off World, which What's is above mean? Checkers. It's a barcade, too.
Now, mind you, with Ready Player One, all the games are free.
You shot who in the what now?
Like, you order, you get food, all the games are free.
I saw they have a NFL Blitz tournament or an NBA Jam tournament.
Oh, damn.
So, that's on next Thursday.
I want to play. I don't know when I get back from Vegas. I might have to ride my bike up there or something.
Your trunk's big enough.
Hey, there are bike lanes. Shut up.
I was going to say, one, it's probably going to take a shorter time to ride my bike up there than to drive, find parking at Greektown.
Isn't it over in Campus Martius area?
What are you talking about? Ready Player One?
Yeah.
I thought I was in Greektown.
I don't know.
It's like Greektown.
Okay.
It's pretty close to Greektown.
So.
I would probably say Ready Player One just because I'm a video game freak. I've been playing since, you know, there was only one button on the Atari 2600.
I remember going to Caesarland and, like, Major Magics and, like, playing the, like...
A little DZ Discovery Zone?
Not quite those, but, like, you'd split time on the arcade game, the Ninja Turtles arcade game or Tekken or
the Simpsons arcade game.
The Simpsons arcade game.
Bart Simpson, Marge got that little vacuum she's hitting everybody with.
Or the WrestleMania arcade game. That sucker! If Ready Player One does not have that, I would be highly disappointed.
So, if you're going, you want beer. I mean, Ember's probably a good spot to hit up, with all the pinball machines. I mean, like, I would go to a place where I could, like, hop from one to two to three different places just to kind of enjoy it. So, like, going to, like, Embrew, the WAB, and if you want to do something fun, like, hit up either, like, Orchid or Grasshopper Underground or...
If you're going to be close to, like, Embrew and the WAB, shit, I'd go over and give Detroit Axe a try.
Detroit Axe? Oh, yeah, there you go. Nothing like Axel and Sharp Tip, or Axes and Sharp Tip. Well, Sharp Tip Axes and beer.
Yeah, throw axes, then go to Axel afterwards.
There you go.
Wow. It's kind of a commute.
Yeah, it's about a mile.
Woodward to Livernois? 9 to 8?
It's about a mile. Well, no, because it's at corner, so it's close to Livernois.
Yeah.
Off of 9 Mile. Use your directions, Matthew.
Yeah, right.
That way?
Get the map.
That way? Which way is left?
It's relatively close.
I can't tell you how many times in my work where I have to tell people the top left. The top left.
Which one's
the top left? And they're like, the top right. I'm like, your other left. The top right still. I'm like, come on.
You mean down here? No.
So, yeah, I would say Detroit Axe or Cashew. Cashew would be fun.
Cashew Cafe?
Perhaps.
Do a little feather bowling?
I'm always thinking of, like, interactive things to do with friends. Folding Warehouse.
Folding Warehouse.
There you go.
I mean, their beer list has always been consistently.
Dirty little secret. I always get the $2, whatever the $2 cheap beers are.
Did you ever use the vending mystery machine?
Oh, absolutely, exclusively.
Oh, geez, those.
Because after you have like two or three beers, you might as well just spend $2 on a beer as opposed to paying like $8 on a.
Right.
You get a 25-cent Ham's Light.
Yeah.
I still have that Ham's Light.
Angela, best beer to event kind of thing to do around town.
Where would you go for your birthday?
I stayed home.
I go to bed.
Oh my god. Are you serious? What?
Best thing to do for your birthday. Well, I'm a big fan of darts, so I'd probably go somewhere with darts, somewhere
steel
with beer.
Tip or regular?
Preferably steel, but regular works in a jiff. And then one-eyed baddies for some like 1:30 a.m. donuts is always a good call.
They have donuts?
Are you kidding me? You don't know about One-Eyed Betty's Donuts?
No.
We need to go there after this show.
Shit, I go to Dutch Girl for my donuts. That's my thing.
What you need, boy.
But does Dutch Girl have beer?
Huh?
Does Dutch Girl have beer?
Oh, hell no. No. That's all they do is make donuts.
I believe Angela's decisions of life involve either avocados, sleep, or beer.
Or donuts, apparently.
Or donuts, apparently.
There is a bomb donut place that just opened up. south of my neighborhood. You get to pick your glaze, your drizzle, and your topping, and it's called Daddy's Donuts.
That sounds
It's just like made to order donuts.
Yes. And they're fresh. They're fresh donuts. And then you top it however you want.
I feel like the next job is a donut flight.
Right?
Corners of different donuts.
Yeah, you get like four different corner donuts. And
no, you get like the they cut one donut up, cut one donut up in quarters, and they dress them all differently.
Yeah.
Matt, I think that you should go to Urban Rest because it's a great brewery. Then once you get your buzz on, then go get some cheap beer. And then go get some donuts.
And you're all just all in that whole Ferndale area right there.
Shout out to Urban Rest because they're fucking bomb. I don't know what I love more, the parking or the beer.
What?
They have their own parking lot that's free, that's almost always available.
Oh, yeah, and it is
Ferndale. Do you know how rare that is for a commuter?
And Ferndale, especially with the Park Mobile all over the place, it gets ridiculous. I mean, hell, I was pissed off that I went to the Imagine over here in Royal Oak and had to pay for parking.
Like, and then $14 for a movie?
Right, exactly. I was like, why am I? I'm already paying for the damn movie. Why do I have to pay for the parking space, too?
So. Well, folks, episode 121 is in the bag.
Which wasn't even supposed to happen until next week.
Yeah, a little bit different. We will be off next week now. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Better on Draft, Twitter, Better on Draft, Instagram, Better on Draft. As well as Untapped, which is BOD Podcast, Twitch, which is BOD Podcast. We will be at the Brewers Guild Festival next Friday night, pouring for Latitude 42, so come check us out. Say hi. We'll be running around the entire night. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Sporkle Trivia, Brown Iron Brew House, Zatuna Liquor, and North Center Brewing. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Sporkle Live, bitch.